inside the three pieces.
The question was asked that when we come to a restaurant and it has badatz hechsher, badatz authorization for the kashrut, and no rabbanut, is there a problem eating in the place? I want to address in a broader sense what the kashrut means, and then we'll get to that question, okay? Once upon a time, you went to a Jew's house, you ate there. If you knew the owner, we used to have around the corner from here a man named Dadshi Cohen, who had a grocery store. And I always used to buy fruits and vegetables by him, because I used to tell him, I'd eat in your house. I have no problem eating the fruits and vegetables you sell me. If you tell me that they've been properly tithed, that it's all kosher, so I trust you. I have no problem with that. So I have relatives who bring me fruits and vegetables. I have neighbors who sometimes bring me fruits and vegetables or cooked or baked food that they make at home. I have no problem eating it, because a Jew that you know observes mitzvot and is knowledgeable about mitzvot. If a person observes but they don't yet know, so it doesn't help that they intend to be observant if they don't know how to be observant. But assuming someone is knowledgeable and they're observant, so then when they make food or they offer you food, you could eat that, just like when your wife makes you food. You don't stand there in the kitchen checking everything she's doing. You trust her, so you eat it. You go to someone's house, and you eat it. The world has become a far more complex place, where every item that you buy must have kosher supervision, because even the simplest item has many, many, many ingredients. Let's take a simple item like salt. Salt has enzymes that they put into it. Salt very often is mixed in with flour. Salt has many ingredients. You buy bread, it's not flour and water. If you look at the list of ingredients in the regular bread you buy, it's amazing. You look at the ingredients on an item you're going to buy, it's a chocolate bar, and all the ingredients seem kosher. So one of the ingredients is milk powder. That should be kosher. The only problem is that many companies mix in blood in the milk powder. Blood, that's not kosher. But they mix in blood because it helps them in many different ways it helps them. So, for example, if you buy certain chutzlarts kashruyot, they won't check if there's blood mixed into the powder. I'll tell you off the record one that you should all be aware of. I don't want to say that online. I don't like getting sued. But off the record, I could tell you one that's not careful about that at all. The Rabbanut in Israel, if you buy a candy bar or you go to a restaurant that has the Rabbanut, that means that they're overseeing that everything is kosher. So we today do not have the luxury of buying food without a hechsher, unless you have verified with a reliable source that this food can be bought without a hechsher. In almost all of the world, if you want to buy coffee, non-flavored coffee, regular coffee, I was told that you have no problem buying coffee without a hechsher. I know in the United States it's that way. I know in Israel, I was told that that's the rule for the world, that coffee, non-flavored coffee, is okay. You have no problem. If you're just buying black coffee, that's what I was told. So there are items, and you go to certain countries in Europe and you verify with the local rabbinate there, and they can tell you which items they have verified that are good without a hechsher. It's well known that there are certain whiskeys that people buy without any kosher symbol, because it's been verified. So they know that those whiskeys are kosher without having supervision. But the general rule is, those are the exceptions. The rule is that if I want to buy a food item, even if it looks innocent, I better find out either from a kosher supervision, someone who's knowledgeable in the area, if in fact this item does not need kosher supervision, or if it needs kosher supervision, it better have kosher supervision. I was a guest by someone for Pesach, and I saw on the eve of Pesach that they had many cans of Coke that they were going to serve at the Seder. So I saw this a day before Pesach, a day or two beforehand, and I saw that the supervision on the Coke did not say kosher for Passover. It said kosher, not for Passover. So I called the local kashrus agency. This was not in Israel. And I asked them, and they notified me that there are four types of Coca-Cola. There's Coca-Cola on the East Coast of the United States and Coca-Cola on the West Coast of the United States, and they're not the same. There's Coca-Cola in China, which is not the same as Coca-Cola in the United States. And then there's Coca-Cola in Israel. And I think there's another one. I think there are five types of Coca-Cola. And they're not the same ingredients. They use different ingredients. You buy a can of Coke on the East Coast and on the West Coast, you're not buying the same ingredients. And based on that, they were able to tell me what's mixed into the Coke, whether it's chametz, whether it's kidneys, etc. So you see an item, and you assume in Israel that has a hechsher. Well, Doritos in Israel has nothing to do with Doritos in America. The Doritos in Israel is manufactured in Israel, and it's manufactured from Jewish-Israeli ingredients, and it has nothing to do with the ingredients of the Doritos in America. So the fact that Doritos in Israel is kosher has nothing to do with whether Doritos in America is kosher. Doritos in America, you want to find out if it's kosher, call the local agencies in America. When you're in Israel and you see Doritos as a hechsher, that tells you nothing about Doritos in any other country. So the general rule is that every item I eat needs a hechsher, including the item that seems simplest to me, such as sugar. Everyone knows what's sugar made out of? Sugar cane? No. Sugar today is made out of beets. Sugar is made out of beets.
And they're
coated. So any item you buy, I remember when I was a child, then they were talking to us about maple syrup. Maple syrup. Why does maple syrup need a hechsher? Because when they evaporate the syrup, in order to distill it, they evaporate it using lard, using pig's fat. Part of the process is with pig's fat. So even things that seem natural, you have to verify. There are times that you do not need a hechsher. There was a time, I don't know if this is still the case, there was a time that in the United States, if orange juice said 100% pure orange juice, it did not need a hechsher. There was a time like that. I don't know if that's still the case. So you knew in the United States, 100% pure orange juice didn't need a hechsher. Fine. You can verify the items in the country you're in. But until you verify, the general rule is any item you buy, even the item that seems the simplest item, needs a hechsher because every item today is very complicated. The ingredients are far more complex than they ever were. Now you come to a restaurant. Well, in a restaurant you have many, many challenges. You have the challenge of, let's say you're going to buy a salad. Well, what did they cut the onion with? Is the lettuce bug-free or is the lettuce bug-filled? If it's a salad here in Israel, then you need to know if they tithed, if they took off Trumos and Maisros. If it's the year of Shemitah, you have the challenge of Shemitah. So even the smallest thing like a salad, we won't talk about the oils and the dressings, but even the smallest thing like a salad, technically if you're going to buy it, you have to know that it's kosher. So we only buy in a store that has a hechsher, or if I know the owner is a Torah observant Jew and I trust him. I know him. Not that he has a beard and a yarmulke. I know a lot of store owners that put on the yarmulke when they show up to the store. They don't keep Shabbat. But when they show up to the store, they know it's good business to wear a yarmulke. There's a store like that in Beit Vegan, where I know the owners. They don't keep Shabbos. But in their store, they're always wearing a yarmulke. There's a store like that in Kiryat Moshe. I know the owner of the store. And he wears a yarmulke when he goes to the store. And when he's outside the store, he doesn't, but it's good business. So if I want to buy in a place, if I know the owner, if I would trust the person and eat in his house, so fine. So then I trust him. But the general rule is we don't know people when we go to a restaurant. And so the recommended way is we only go to a restaurant that has an Orthodox hechsher. And you don't have to be stringent. Any Orthodox hechsher is fine. After you'll be chozer b'tshuva for 10 years, you could ask the question again. But for the first 10 years after gir and chazra b'tshuva, keep your life simple and easy. Any Orthodox hechsher is okay. So you go to a restaurant, and any place you're going to buy food has to have a hechsher. Now we come to the question of does it have to have a rabbanut hechsher, which is really the original question. So that comes back to a few other questions. Why is the rabbanut hechsher important? So the first reason the Rabbanut Hechsher is important is to ensure it's not a forgery. If you go down Yafo Street, going from here down Yafo Street, on your left-hand side, just before you hit the City Hall, there's a store that sells sandwiches and food, and you'll see on the store sign it says Chatam Zchuk Chatam Sofer Petach Tikva. Why does a store in Jerusalem have a hechsher from Petach Tikva? Well, the truth is it doesn't. The sign says it does, but go ask them for a certificate and you'll see they have a photocopy that says there's a factory that has a hechsher. It has nothing to do with them. It's a forgery. And when I reported them to Chatam Sofer Petach Tikva, Chatam Sofer Petach Tikva came complaining to them. So they took down the sign and it stayed down for 2 months and now it's back up again. So you go down Yafo Street and your left hand side, you'll see it. You walk out of the Tachana Merkazit and you make a right, the central bus station here in Jerusalem. You leave the Tachana Merkazit, you make a right, and you see a shawarma place. And the shawarma place has a hechsher that says, Admor, me, I won't say what because I don't remember. The problem is...
Is it
kosher? The guy doesn't check the stores. You pay him 150 shekel, 200 shekel, he gives you a very nice sign. But the problem is that the hechsher is a forgery. The guy does nothing. And you go down King George Street, there are many stores there that have beautiful signs. Nezer HaKashrut, Atarat HaKashrut, all kinds of beautiful names. They're forgeries. They're not legitimate kashrus agencies. You pay 150 shekel, you get a sign. They never show up and check what's in your store. They're not interested. They don't care. You pay for your sign. Goodbye. And they have a wonderful sign. And the sign says, Badatz Nezer HaKashrut. So you look at it, it says, Badatz, must be good. No. So the advantage of ensuring that there's a Rabbanut Hechsher is that if it's a real Rabbanut sign, the Rabbanut checks the places that have their Hechsher. And number one, you know there's at least one legitimate Hechsher on the store. So when you walk out of the Tachna Merkazit and on your right-hand side you see a shawarma place, I think they convinced the guy in the shawarma place to get a Rabbanut Hechsher. Up until 2 months or a few months ago, he did not have a Rabbanut Hechsher. He had a Hechsher from someone who lives here in Kiryat Moshe. He calls himself an Admor, and he prints out signs. And what I heard from the Rabbanut is that he has no Mashgichim. He never shows up and checks. You pay him a sum of money, and he gives you the sign, and with that, you're done and he's done. So that's a forgery. That's not a real kashrut. So how do you know? So there are legitimate kashruyot, but when you see a kashrut, number one, if you see the Rabbanut Hechsher, assuming it's not a photocopy, you can be relatively comfortable there's at least one legitimate Hechsher there. So that's one advantage of the Rabbanut Hechsher. When we look at items, we'll leave restaurants for 1 second. When you buy an item from Chutz Laretz, it must have the Rabbanut Hechsher. And why is that? Because how do you know that they didn't forge the Hechsher? How do you know they didn't print on the label a Hechsher, OU, Star K, Cuff K, CRC, but that's Manchester. How do you know they didn't forge the Hechsher? If it says either Rabbanut Hechsher or Be'ishur under the mandate of the Chief Rabbinate of Israel, that means that the Chief Rabbinate of Israel took this item, called the Kashrus Agency in Chutz Laretz and checked it. Can someone forge that? They can, but then they can be sued in Israel. If they forge that the rabbinate approves it, then by law they can be sued. So they're going to be much more reluctant to do that. And the rabbanut is on top of it. We get updates, we post them here on the bulletin board. The rabbanut catches forgeries like that. If it just says a kashrut in America, what does it have to do with the rabbanut? But any food item that you buy from Chutz Laretz, you want to buy M&M's. So if you go to the Tachana Merkazit, the central bus station, right next to the central bus station, you have a lot of little stores that sell candies. If you pay attention, many of them are selling you M&Ms that are imported from Egypt. Until recently, all the M&Ms you bought were imported from America. They had the OU. Now they started importing M&Ms from Egypt that have no kashrut. So are they kosher or not? I don't know. And the same thing with the Snickers bar. The same Snickers bar you're used to seeing, they started importing from the Netherlands without a Hechsher. And just because the one in the United States has a Hechsher tells you nothing about the one manufactured in the Netherlands. Yes?
What could possibly be wrong with M&M's?
I just mentioned in the beginning that sometimes they mix into the milk powder blood. Literally. That's one example. I'm just giving you one example. I'm saying there are more.
Egypt, who says they use cow milk?
The red ones are made of bark.
What if they use cow milk in China?
Okay.
Why do it the widespread assimilation in America?
But coming back to our point, so the advantage of buying with the Rabbanut Hechsher is, number one, I know there's a legitimate local Hechsher. Number two, when I buy a manufactured and imported candy or imported food, the Rabbanut ensures that it's a Hechsher that's been verified. Now, there's another challenge. You come to a store and it says the Hechsher here in Jerusalem is from the city of Petah Tikva. So ask yourself, why does a store in Jerusalem get kashrut from an agency in Petah Tikva? How many mashgichim, how many people, representatives, does a Petah Tikva kashrut have in Jerusalem? They're focused in Petah Tikva. How many people do you think are traveling an hour and a half a day to come into Jerusalem and an hour and a half back to Petah Tikva? How many stores in Jerusalem have a Petah Tikva Hechsher? So the second you see a Hechsher from out of town, that raises suspicious signs. Why didn't they get a local Hechsher? And if you have the local Rabbanut, at least you can be calm in that regard. You have the local Rabbanut. And finally, we come to the political question, which is probably what you meant we should begin with. I began with the practical halachic aspects. Now we have a political question. In the state of Israel, and without getting political, just dealing with the facts, the chief rabbinate does a tremendous service to all of Am Yisrael. The chief rabbinate is attempting to ensure that things are done in accordance with halacha. It is true that in certain realms, the chief rabbinate aspires to work with the lowest common denominator. Meaning if other kashrut agencies have a high standard, then the Rabbanut's goal is not to have a necessarily high standard. The Rabbanut's goal is to have a standard that will facilitate the maximum number of kosher products. The Rabbanut wants, on the one hand, it has to be kosher, but there are standards in kashrut. You can have what we call mehadrin, a higher standard, or you could have a basic standard. The Rabbanut set as its goal to get as many as possible foods under the umbrella of kosher. And again, this is a wonderful goal. This is to help ensure that the majority of the food in Israel is kosher. So the Rabbanut standard is not a high standard, but it's a kosher standard. And so if a person asks you, should I only buy Rabbanut? Well, you should definitely buy, if possible, something that has another kashrut, because the Rabbanut is not a necessarily high standard. If it's all the same to you, if it doesn't matter, then an item that has another kashrut agency on its label, well, that probably means it's kosher on a higher standard. You could buy Rabbanut, but as we discussed earlier, but there's definitely a benefit to buying something which has another certification to it. But there's the flip side. And that's the question. You come to the store and you find grape juice and other items that do not have the Rabbanut sign on it. So in my house, I ask my wife, we shouldn't buy that. Because we have to value the wonderful work that the Rabbanut does. Even though we might aspire to a higher standard, we are all benefiting from the fact that the Rabbanut works to ensure that the average Jew has kosher food in Israel. And they're working. They're working very hard. And politically, they're getting a lot of flack, and they're being attacked on every side. They're being attacked by some that they should be more stringent. They're being attacked by some that they should be more lenient. Everyone's beating up on them. And they're doing a hard job. And when we say to a seller, I'm not going to buy by you if you don't give that minimal respect to the chief rabbinate of having their certificate, what we're saying is that we want the chief rabbinate to have a stand in the state of Israel. And that's a statement which we should make. The falafel stand here, there was a time when they didn't have a certificate. This goes back decades ago. And I would go and tell them, guys, I'm going to buy by you when you have the Rabbanut Hechsher. And eventually they got it. Today they have. I don't remember if it's the falafel or the baguette. I don't remember which one. One of them used to not have a Rabbanut Hechsher. And by telling them, when people in the neighborhood told them, we're not going to buy till you get that certificate. So this is an important concept on a nationalistic level. Am I saying that if you're visiting Petah Tikva and you find you're hungry and you find a restaurant that doesn't have a Rabbanut Hechsher, you shouldn't eat there? I didn't say that. I think at this stage of the game, life is hard enough when a person is chozer b'tshuva. It's hard enough when you don't have a home to come home to and eat a good lunch or a good dinner. Don't take on this stringency on yourself. But in the long run, it is correct. And if you have two restaurants, and one has the rabbanut and one does not have, so all things being equal, it is important to stress to the seller, I want to see a rabbanut certificate by you. And I don't want to buy by you if you don't have that. And when we ask that, then they feel more comfortable that they're paying the money for that certification. We're strengthening the rabbanut in Israel. When you walk into a store and ask, where's your rabbanut hechsher? And they say, here it is. And they see you're interested. Then the next month when they pay the bill for that certification, they feel good. It's good business. It's in my interest. So there's definitely an aspect, irrespective of whether you're more Zionistic or less Zionistic, in the attempt to ensure that the state is more observant, there's definitely an aspect where it's worthwhile to impress upon the sellers that the Rabbanut Hechsher is important to us. Again, it's not the high standard, it's the low standard, but it's an important standard. And that's why I think it is important, when possible, to stress that. But again, as far as you guys and your purchasing, if there's a legitimate Orthodox Hechsher, I would not take on this stringency at your stage of the game. It's hard enough being here without having a normal source of food. You guys don't have your own fridge. You know, so if you're in a place and right now you want to go into a restaurant and it has a good kosher kashrut symbol, I would not make that the reason why you don't buy in that place. Because you'll be married, you'll have a home, you'll be less hungry, you'll be able to take on a little bit of stringency, then this is a worthwhile thing to help the state move forward, to help ensure that the Rabbanut retains the power it should have.